Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs.
But first, a word from our sponsor.
Well, welcome to the program, Chiefs fans. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs. And with me, as always, my co-host, Stuart Smith. What do you want to say today, Stu? How's your day going?
I've been watching a lot of football stuff this week, and my fingers are crossed that we just play our game and not play to anyone else's level. I could probably say I'm more nervous about this game than other ones, just because it's the Jets. And
come on, are you serious? Winless Jets, really?
Any Given Sunday, it's a great film. If you haven't seen it, anything can happen. So
no, I hear you. That's one thing I was gonna ask you a question. Do you feel like it's a trap game for the Chiefs? Do you think they're gonna play to the Jets level?
I do. I think in the beginning, but eventually I think the Chiefs are going to blow them out. However, with that said, my main fear, and it's every single Saturday night, you know, before our games, is like, I just don't want to see Mahomes' knee dislocate ever again or him get hurt. It's like, my main thing is like, I just need him to stay upright, keep the offensive line, keep him upright, and I'll be okay. But that's just my main. I just need him healthy to get to December and January, because I know what he's capable of doing. So I don't know. Hope I'm not being a bad vibe here, but I'm all, it's a typical Chiefs fan. You're nervous. It's like, it never comes easy to us. So,
well, yeah, you have this. But look at it this way. I mean, the Chiefs defeated the Denver Broncos, another rival that we can't stand. They won 43-16. It was a snowy game, you know, and the snow didn't affect us, obviously. The Chiefs just – they found the end zone, a touchdown. They did a touchdown in offense, defense, and special teams. I think they were saying it was like the first time this has happened in 30 years or something like that. But, I mean, the Chiefs, they scored its first offensive possession, and they never led back. I mean, the Broncos never had a chance. They had too many mistakes. I mean, did you feel like the Broncos beat themselves, though?
Oh, that was that was the one game where, like, feel like I could have played quarterback or running back, and I think we could have still possibly won just because of how many mistakes those Broncos made. I mean, it was awful for all the Bronco fans, and it was like a non-divisional game. So absolutely, I'll take those games all day long.
I mean, Mahomes, he only threw the ball 23 times. I mean, he was 15 for 23 for 200 yards and a touchdown. I mean, now it's actually the 10th time we've won in a row against Denver. It's actually the 29th win against our division since 2015. So the most by any other team in their own division in the NFL during that span. So, I mean, you have to go back to September 17th, 2015, the last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs. So this tells you how dominant we've been still in our conference. I mean, Mahomes found Tyreek Hill again for a touchdown, extend his franchise record now 17 straight games with touchdown pass. But really, I want to talk about is the defense. Were you like surprised at all? Or, like, how many turnovers we got?
Turnovers. Remember last year, maybe it was 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago, the Chicago Bears, and they were like, it was like one of the best statistical defenses that we've had in the past couple of years. All those turnovers. And I remember all the analysts saying, like, these types of defenses, it never happens 2 or 3 years in a row. It's always like a swing of things that happen. I think we're getting that type of swing. A lot of interceptions. I think Tyrann Mathieu had, was it 2 in 2 weeks or 2 in 3 weeks?
Right.
So from a deep defensive perspective, it's really like they were the – like if you didn't know who Patrick Mahomes was – and you were just like, you know, a regular football fan, there would be more talk about that defense than what Patrick Mahomes did on Sunday.
You really think no one knows who Patrick Mahomes is?
No, I think everyone does. And if they don't, I'll give him my phone number and we could chat, because I'm obsessed. And he's the greatest NFL quarterback of all time. But yeah, I think, you know,
I mean,
I think that people would be more. And that's what's so weird about this year is, and it's so strange to me, but clearly the Chiefs are week in, week out. Ever since they beat the Ravens, we ranked the number one team in pretty much everyone's power rankings. But all everyone talks about on ESPN and NFL Total Access is they talk about the Bucs, or they talk about the Seahawks. They talk about all this stuff. And I'm just like, and only Steve Young is the only guy who spoke. It was last, I think it was last Sunday night, where they're like, hey, are the Steelers, the best team in the AFC? And are like, they're saying like, who are the teams that could beat Kansas City? And they're like, oh, it's the Steelers. Like, it's totally the Steelers. Like, their defense back and forth is the best. And then someone else was like, well, who's a better team in the NFL? They're picking the Bucks. And Steve Young goes, are you guys crazy? Like, they lost one game this year, but besides that, like, you have to give and you have to pick the Chiefs until they do some type of slip. So
It's
yeah, I
funny.
just
It's funny you said that because, like, I think the Colin Cowherd, he had his top 10 rankings, and he had Nick Wright on the show, and Nick Wright wanted to throw up because the very first top team he said the best in the NFL is the Bucks. Like, he's like, Tampa Bay Bucks is by far the best team in the NFL according to Colin Cowherd. And I'm like, I don't know how you could even put them there when they have two losses, and they're starting to figure stuff out. They have a good defense, I kid you not. I understand that, but still, as an overall team, I don't know how you could pick them the best in the NFC right now. I don't even the NFL, I think it's kind of a stretch.
And this just tells you how many like weapons the Chief has. If you look on offensive leaders and defensive leaders in the top five, whether it's sacks, rushing, passing, tackles, interceptions, receiving, there's one Chief in the top five in all of those categories. And he really is having a pretty quiet season, in my opinion, compared to when he first started, was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's the only Chief. Like, not Patrick Mahomes. We don't
Right.
have people in tackles. The receiving yards, there, but that just shows you the complete team that there's one guy on the top of that. And
Right. That's
that's good, I think.
and then you throw in Le'Veon Bell, who now is going to play against his Jets.
Right.
So I just have a feeling he's gonna come out on all fires and anything else. But before we get into the Jets game, I mean, the Chiefs defense, they continue playing great. I mean, the final 30 minutes of play, they hold the Broncos to just 7 points in the half. I mean, they also had two more turnovers. In total, the Chiefs matched a season high with four takeaways, and while only surrendering just 16 points again, marking an NFL most sixth time this season that the Chiefs have held a team under 21 points. So as much as they want to talk about how bad the Chiefs defense is, oh, that's their weak point, they still don't really score a lot of points against us. And it tells you the proof right there, 21 points or less. And we've done that the most than anyone else in the NFL. I mean, we're 6-1. We dominated the Broncos, and now what's heading for this streak? Now the Chiefs go back to Arrowhead, and we're facing the winless Jets. And like you said, and I wanted to say this too, is like I think it might be a trap game for the Chiefs if they come in not all fired. Are you worried at all about that though?
A little bit, but I think the one thing, and I think it's beautiful for this week, is Le'Veon Bell. Think about this. This guy's a former Pro Bowl, all-pro running back, got cut from the worst team in the NFL. The worst team in the NFL cut Le'Veon Bell. So I expect him to walk in wherever the hell they're going to put him at, whether he's next to Clyde Edwards or he's running in the slot. And I literally think the Chiefs' formula is just feed that guy the ball and just let him go crazy because, again, it doesn't make sense. One of the best running backs in the past couple of years, regardless of off the field issues, whatever the case, got cut by the worst team in the NFL.
I know.
And then, oh, here, last thing I want to say about this too is Adam Gase. So he's on the he was being asked, I think it was yesterday, like, hey, how do you feel about, Le'Veon Bell? Do you think he's gonna have a chip on the shoulder for the game? And he goes, he's like all those guys, do what they can to win the game. So I don't know if he's got a chip on his shoulder. You could just see him lying through his
Oh.
teeth. Like he knows, like, crap. The one team this guy goes to, we play in 2 weeks, like this is not. So give him the ball. No worries on my end.
I really think Le'Veon Bell really was circling this game on the calendar. I mean, because when he was picking his teams, he was either picking the Bills, I think it was, and Miami, and I forget, and the Chiefs, I forget who other teams, and all of them are playing the Jets. So I knew he was definitely wanting to play against his team again, his former team, and I think he's gonna have a good game. I think the Chiefs, like you said, I think they are gonna blow out the Jets. Like, do you think they could throw up 50 points?
So, who was it? One of the guys on NFL Total Access. I forgot who it was. I think it might have been I'm not sure, but they said that they expect the Chiefs are going to throw a 60 burger up against
No,
the Jets.
wow.
See, I don't think that will be the case because I think the Jets would have to score a decent amount of points for them to get to 60. But I'll just say this: this may be the last game that Adam Gase is going to coach. Unfortunately, I never want anyone to lose their job, but and it's like the worst timing for him to go against the Chiefs. But 50 points is definitely possible, but I think they're going to stay in the ballpark between 30 and 40 because I don't think Mahomes will play. I'll be shocked if Mahomes plays in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so I'm looking at their rankings here. The Jets are dead last in points per game. They're 24th in the league for points allowed. Total yards allowed, they're dead last. Passing yards allowed, they're dead last. Their good point, I guess, is their rush defense, but they're still 23rd. And they actually, one thing they're actually really good at is the turnover ratio. They're ninth in the league. Whereas the Chiefs were fifth in the league in points per game, ninth for points, I mean, sorry, points allowed per game. We are 12th in passing, fifth, ninth in rushing yards, and yards allowed were 18th, and we're second in turnover difference. So I guess the one bright side for the Jets is they've been able to stay over the turnover battle, which I'm surprised because it looks like they fumble a lot and throw picks, but I guess they've been getting turnovers. So with that being said, do you think the Jets, to be anywhere close to this game, what do you think they have to do to stop the Chiefs? Or is it not even possible?
I think that in its way that everyone says how you can apparently all these experts think you beat the Chiefs, which hardly any teams do, is only have four people rushing the passer, don't blitz, and you have to do it's a you have to make it be a boring game where Mahomes is just handing off the ball back and forth, and not and getting out of his rhythm offensively, and then obviously you got to control the football. And I just think with Sam Darnold, God bless him, poor guy. He's in a really bad situation. He's got the turnover bug. He fumbles a lot. The only way I think the Jets could really do that is, but again, I don't, because Sammy Watkins is out, right? That's one player. But the way the offensive line has been playing for the Chiefs, I find it very difficult, not to mention with the chip on Le'Veon Bell's shoulder. But they would have to keep the ball away from Mahomes, rush four, and just hope that they can keep that guy Mahomes off the field.
So that's why I think if they're going to do that, Le'Veon Bell and CH are going to have a game, a field day. Because if they're going to try and just rush four and drop everyone back, that means they're going to be nowhere in the, there's not going to be 8 man in the box. So they're just going to run them all day long. Like I mean, that's my honest opinion. I think Mahomes will have a good day. I just don't think he'll throw the ball more. And I'm predicting he won't even play the fourth quarter also. I really don't. I don't see this. It might be Adam Gase's last game. But I really, to his effort, it's not really fair when you're playing against this team and you have no Pro Bowlers on your team. I mean, after they get rid of Le'Veon Bell, there is no one on that Jets roster that's a Pro Bowler. I mean, Sam Darnold, I think, you know, if you give him the right system and anything else, he's still a young guy. It's just that they don't, the Jets are the worst organization. I don't.
I think it's just a New York bug. I think the Giants and the Jets together, they're just like, hey, let's see how terrible we can manage a team and draft people. It's just, I feel bad for the state of New York, except Buffalo. I think they're really doing a decent job. But yeah, I think with the Jets, they just, I think Adam Gase is a great offensive mind, right? They say he's a quarterback guru, but it's just been a proven track record of not being successful as a head coach in the NFL. And this may be one of those things where it's a foreshadowing for the future that Eric Bieniemy is going to look and see who his team's going to be next year, because there's no way in hell that Eric Bieniemy is not going to be a head coach next year. He's just too good of a coach. That could be one of his landing spots, could be the Jets or the Texans. Those are my two, I think, as of right now, with open spots, even Atlanta. But yeah, so it's going to be interesting. But I do feel for the Jets and the players just because that's got to be tough, walking in Arrowhead, defending champions. They're 5-1, 6-1, and they got that guy Mahomes. So it'll be a long day for the Jets. but I'll enjoy it.
I mean, it'll probably be another game like the Denver Bronco game where we're just be sitting there and not really paying attention completely because how much they blew them out, you know? So, I mean.
Yeah, well, that's because we're drinking, but, you know, trying to
I know.
Avoid our kids.
Had a little too much to drink that day, but, you know, Chiefs were beating them pretty bad, so we didn't have to really watch that much, not much stress. But, I mean, definitely, I mean, the Chiefs have been ridiculous, like, consistently scoring-wise. I mean, the Chiefs, they've now tallied 23 points or more in 21 straight games, which is the second largest streak in the NFL, behind the only Chiefs 22-game stretch between 2018 and 19 season. In other words, the Chiefs have topped 23 points in 43 of its last 44 games, which is crazy to me to think that. It tells you how consistent Andy Reid and everyone else has been able to score points. And so I don't think there's going to be an ounce of problem for the Chiefs. And I expect actually Chad Henne to score again. I mean, do you want to see that spike
again?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. I want to see him in there.
I think.
I think the biggest thing that I want to see is everyone walk out of there healthy. I want to see Edwards and Le'Veon Bell. I want to see them both work together in a way of where they're getting some kind of energy together where they, you know, it's there's a sharing of carries because we're going to need to have. With the way the teams are playing the Chiefs now, with they're playing, you know, four down and they're having everyone in the backfield deep where they're just going to basically hand the balls off. I just want to see those guys get in a rhythm. And I think this will be a good game to see that. And again, everyone walk out healthy.
Yeah. Main thing is to get away healthy, especially if you're playing a winless team. I mean, this is pretty much a garbage game, but it also, like you said, any given Sunday, anything can happen. We're playing home in Arrowhead. I just have it hard to believe with the leadership that we have on this team that we're going to let this game get squeak by, unless some horrific injury, you know, knock on wood, no one gets severely injured. Our offensive line, they've been changing up a little bit, the center and the guard position, and obviously with Swartz being out with back, I mean, it's been different, but they've been holding on their own and, you know, making pancakes left and right. So let's hope we keep seeing that. So let me ask you this now. So who do you think is going to have a breakout offense performance this coming up Sunday?
Le'Veon Bell. I think they're going to feed him like I do think Edwards-Helaire will get the carries early on, but I do think when the game starts to get out of hand, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to do anything he possibly can to just keep on running, especially having a couple more weeks in the system. That offensive line is just moving people, which is great. So I think the biggest highlight player out of this game is going to be Le'Veon Bell from offensive perspective.
I don't know how you can't pick him. I really think he's going to be the guy because there's so much the anger he's going to have probably playing against his former team. And he wants to show everyone that he's still a Pro Bowl running back and he's got a lot to show. I mean, it was great. His first carry last week against the Denver Broncos went for 16 yards. I mean, I think they had some stats showing up from the Jets. He never had a carry like that ever his whole time he's been at the Jets. And so I think he'll score one or two touchdowns. That's my bold prediction. I think he's going to score one or two touchdowns, maybe a receiving touchdown, get him in the mix early and show what he can do still. And then defensively, who do you think is going to step up this week?
Gay Jr. I think last week he had a really nice tackle early on in the game. I think that they're going to need him. You know, we start talking about division games against the Raiders, running the ball a lot. Just kind of looking down, we have New Orleans coming up, Atlanta, the Chargers. We need that middle part. So he's the main guy I'm going to be focusing on. I'd love to see him in almost to the, you know, 8 or 9 plus tackles coming up. It would be my gut reaction who I think will have a big game, but I'm not going to be surprised if I see Thornhill get another interception because I think he's playing really well. And, of course, my favorite player of the Chiefs, Dirty Dan with his beautiful blonde haircut. You were my hero. God, he had some great hits last week, man. I love watching him play. I love watching him play. But I'll say Gay Jr. is going to have a big day.
Yeah, I think Dirty Dan had definitely a big game last week with that, you know, pick six, and he had a couple of key tackles and big hits. You know, and we also got to see that glimpse of that blonde hair that he dyed. You can tell he looked like he's young again.
So good.
But, yeah, I think defensively, I think because Frank Clark's been really quiet, I feel like the Sharks will circle around and get a couple sacks. That's my prediction. I think he's going to make some disruption. Chris Jones, he's always there, and Mike Pennell, all that stuff in the middle. And I think they'll have a good defensive day. The back end, obviously, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, I could see doing something. Juan Thornhill, but I really think Frank Clark is the guy. I'm gonna pick. He's gonna have a couple sacks, maybe a strip sack, fumble. That's who I'm gonna go with because he's been quiet. And then special teams wise, I mean, talking about last week, Brian Pringle with that kickoff return for a touchdown. Do you think he'll take over now the duties
that
now?
That was huge. I mean, Pringle, I feel like there's been several games where he's had really clutch catches because I think with Sammy Watkins out and Hardman, they're all working together. But I really think the most, you know, underrated aspect for the Chiefs, although last year was really bad with blocked field goals, we have a really good, solid, I think, special teams. And I also think that now I see talent, but have they made mistakes? Yeah, Butker is – I love Butker. He's the man. He does miss his extra point kicks every once in a while. But you know what? I'd rather you miss those than you hit 58-yarders any day of the week. But, yeah, that was huge for Pringle. I wouldn't be – I think with Sammy Watkins out of the lineup, I think, you know, Hardman's going to be more in the lineup for offensively for receivers. So I get a breather. I wouldn't be surprised if Pringles continues to take over some more of those returns.
Because when he was at Kansas State, that's what he was, a kickoff returner, and he had average, I think it was over 20 something, I think it was 25 yards of return. So he's known for kickoff returner. So that's why I was great to see him take off and do that. He has some good catches too. And also McCole Hardman, a lot of people have been talking down about him, haven't seen he's got a sophomore slump and he's not doing well. And I thought he had played a good game when the ball was thrown to him, a one-handed catch off the end zone. I don't know if you ever saw that towards the out of bounds.
Yeah.
But do you think he's gonna start getting more playing time now, more involved? You
know, this is something I've been thinking about all year. Nobody is talking about the Chiefs receivers. I hear all these talks about remember people talking about the Bucks, the Cowboys. Just all these talks about all these receivers. It's almost as if they're like, no one's talking about the Chiefs receivers anymore, which I don't think it's, I think there is a lack of production, just specifically that there's people playing Mahomes differently and the Chiefs aren't winning like we did 2 years ago, throwing the ball for 400 yards. Cause we don't have to, I think we play a more boring type of offense receiving wise. But
really?
Yeah,
you're going to call our offense boring.
Well, I mean, it could be the drinking for me, but I feel like when you think about it, we haven't had 100 yards reception receiver since we played the Raiders. And there's only been one time this entire season that they're over 100 yards, and it was Travis Kelce against the Raiders. So besides that, they're really spreading the ball around. They're giving Clyde Edwards, you know, a lot more touches and all that stuff. So they're 6-1? Yeah, 6-1. So like, they're winning their games, but I think Hardman, I don't think it's a sophomore slump. I just think he's playing for the best offense in the NFL with a top three best receivers in the NFL, and it's going to be hard to get all those catches, but I think he's more than capable of, at any moment, taking a ball to the house. So I don't think there's any sophomore slump, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't see it. I just think he had a couple drop passes, but you know, DeMarcus Robinson, the same thing. Let's not forget. But like you say, these two guys can go play on the receiver, and they'd probably be a number one, number two somewhere else.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, you're behind Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. You know, just to put those two in perspective, and then you got Tyrus Kelce catching balls as a tight end, who's having a phenomenal year. He's basically been the security blanket for Mahomes lately. Right. I mean, I know Tyreek Hill hasn't got a lot of passes deep. He's been kind of quiet. He's still scoring, though. He's still scored every single game, I think, this year. So yep. It's not like we're not getting, you know, Mahomes is doing a really good job spreading the ball around. I mean, Sausage scored a touchdown a couple weeks ago. So, you know what I mean? What was it called? I forget the Sausage play they called it now. But, I mean, like, they're having a lot of fun. They're in the ball spread around. And now Le'Veon Bell in the mix. I mean, he's got another mouth to feed. So, let's go score prediction now. If you had to predict the score for this Sunday, what is your prediction?
43-10.
43-10. All right. I like that. I don't even think that – I think the most the Jets will score, I think, is 14 points. I think it's going to be – I'm going to go 50. I'm going to say the Chiefs are going to drop 50 on them.
Nice.
I'm going to say 50-14. I just have a feeling this is going to be a blowout game. But you know what? I think Andy Reid, though, also too, he's not a guy that likes to run up the scoreboard. So I think 50-14 might be a stretch, but I just can't imagine the Jets hanging anywhere close in this game. I think it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, I hope we're both right, Skylar, because if we're sitting there on Sunday morning and it's a close game, I'm going to be really pissed because I can't handle this. I can't handle. There's so much. I mean, there's. I mean, when you look at the Chiefs this year, I mean, the way they beat the Ravens, like that was the best game they've looked in 2 years. Like even the Super Bowl, like the whole game they just played really, really well. And I know they came off of a couple of days of not playing. I think it was 8 days after they played the Chargers, which they played a terrible game against the Chargers, and we barely won that one. But I just so when I see them play these close games, like when they lost to the Raiders, and it was a close game against Buffalo. But yeah, we need to just blow them out again, like we did Denver.
I just don't think there's any way that we're not going to blow them out. I just have it hard to believe. And like you said, I'll be a little pissed too if Chiefs aren't, if we're down 14 points or 21 points in this game. But I don't see that happen. I don't see that happen. Adam Gase will.
Mahomes better be in a jacket and a beanie and his flip-flops on by the start of the third quarter. That's
I couldn't agree more.
what I want to see. That's what I need to see on Sunday morning. That'll make me happy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I just have it hard to believe it that they'll be able to hang with us and to drop that many points. I mean, there's just I don't think the Jets have scored more. I think they had at one point had a drought of scoring a touchdown. I forget how many games it was. So
Yeah.
let's hope
Poor
that.
Sam. I just looked this up. Poor Sam Donald. He doesn't even have more than 1,000 yards passing. He's at like 912 yards. And the leading rusher for the Jets is Frank Gore, who's older than both of us.
They had Frank Gore. They had him on, and they were talking about how like you were the only active player who's been playing before they had Thursday night football. So just let that sit in for you. But you know what? He's a
Skyler,
guy.
he's 37 years old.
I know.
That's crazy.
He's a couple years older than I am, and he's still running the ball effectively. But the
Oh,
funny
yeah,
is
he's a
crazy about.
stud.
What's crazy about him though is that he still runs the ball effectively, and he had over 1,000 yards I think last year.
Yeah.
So it's like he still does well, and he still makes yards, and he's able to make people miss. But it just cracks me up because that guy had two knee surgeries or three knee surgeries on one knee and the other knee, and he's still running the ball. And so I think him and Adrian Peterson are both, fighting father time right now. The guys that, because the running backs nowadays, you get 3, 5 years and you're pretty much done.
Right.
So I just like the fact
He's
that he's
a stud,
still
man.
around. He's
Total
just stuck.
stud.
So a lot of people want to say he's not a Hall of Famer, but do you know how high he is on the list of most rushing yards? Like he's like third on the list, I think he is, or fourth on the list of all time.
How could you not have him be a Hall of Famer? Like
Well, think
he's
about it though. He hasn't had, when you think of Frank Gore, do you think of any particular play though? That's the thing that people say. He doesn't have, but he's Mr. Consistent.
The only thing I remember about Frank Gore is he never wears knee pads. So like it's like, dude, how is this guy doing this many years? But he's doing it.
It's probably because he can't put a knee pad on because his knees have been so
Probably.
much surgery so many times.
Probably.
But I don't have anything else to say, man. I mean, this is going to be an interesting game. Hopefully that the Chiefs blow them out. I just don't see this being a close game. But like you said, any given Sunday. Last thing I want to say is happy Red Friday, everybody. I hope you guys are all staying safe out there, washing hands and doing the whole, I know the coronavirus has been rough for everybody. But hopefully we'll have, more fans in the stands for playoffs. We'll see. But you got anything else to say, Stu?
I'm trying to get Kim to make pancakes for Sunday because she made them the other day and they're really good. So that's my I'm trying to push into the earlier game for us. I'm gonna focus on pancakes, Patrick Mahomes, and pancakes. That's just my main thought. So just let me know how you feel about that with the pancakes.
No, that's good. What do you want me to bring anything?
She's in charge, so maybe some Jaeger or something. That might be good with pancakes.
Want to switch it up a little bit?
That sounds awful, actually. I don't want to drink that. I can't even try to act cool because I wouldn't be able to drink that. But yeah, we'll figure it out. But I'm excited. I can't wait. I know I don't want to look ahead, but I can't wait to play the Raiders on the 22nd of November. Again, I don't mean to look ahead. Whether we lose this game in the Panthers, really, I just can't wait to watch what these guys are going to do on Sunday Night Football in front of everybody on the 22nd.
Oh, it's going to be a big game. And you know the Chiefs are going to want to win that game big
Oh,
time, especially
man.
after losing to them. I just thought that it's going to be a lot of firepower. It's going to happen. And Gruden, though, to give him his credit, man. Like he's turned the Raiders around. I know everyone's giving him crap when he got rid of Mac and all that stuff, but really it's not looking too bad, I guess. I mean, Derek Carr, he's doing decent this year. You give him time, he has his high completion rate, but he just falls under pressure sometimes. So it's hopefully this might be the year for him. I don't know. But I mean, with the Chiefs playing, I'm pretty sure we'll have more pressure on this time. That's for
Well,
sure.
they beat the beginning of the year. I was like, "Oh, good for the Raiders," but they beat the Chiefs. So, like, I don't like them again. I like them when they. I'm okay with the Raiders when they don't win against the Chiefs, like, at all. But the fact that they beat the Chiefs, I'm gonna hate them for like 7 years straight now, because of the fact that we lost to them just one time.
Oh, I can't stand it no matter what. I always wanted to lose.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode, and make sure to check in next week. I'll be uploading more episodes, and don't forget, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at How About Them Chiefs. So go check it out. And again, thanks for listening. Go Chiefs.